Dobry wieczór, respected viewers. So in this video, I shall be asking whether there's been a diminution of Russian sway in Central Asia. And by Central Asia, I mean the five quondam Soviet republics in that region. And they are Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Uzbekistan. Anyway, so they all became independent states in 1991, the dissolution of the Soviet Union, and they were largely created by the Soviet Union, although Kazakhstan in some form existed even in the 16th century. What we call Kazakhstan was bizarrely mostly Kyrgyzstan when the Soviet Union created it, but then they gave most of Kyrgyzstan to Kazakhstan. Anyway, they are sovereign states recognized by Russia, and worryingly for Kazakhstan, some ultra-nationalist politicians in Russia have openly laid claim to certainly northern Kazakhstan, which got a significant ethnic Russian minority, or said that Kazakhstan has no history of statehood, i.e. that's a green light for them to launch an unprovoked war of aggression against Kazakhstan. So this Ukrainian war has made the Central Asian republics jittery. There's the Collective Security Treaty Organization, which is a military alliance and headed by Russia. Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan are members thereof. The other two are not. And despite this, Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan regularly spar over their border. They're firing across the border, and dozens of people are killed every year. It's never gone to a full-blown war. So that's worrying for them. Another regional anxiety is the Taliban, which has taken over Afghanistan, as we know, a year and a half ago, and it borders Uzbekistan, Turkmenistan, and Tajikistan. Now, Turkmenistan is the most oppressive state in the world besides North Korea, but in some ways very pragmatic. So the Turkmen tyrant, Gurbanguly Berdimuhamedov, was now his son, Serdar, actually, say to the Taliban, you can do anything you want. You can oppress your people as savagely as you want to. You allow me to be as cruel as I can to my denizens, but you just don't poke your nose into my internal affairs. Yeah, I'll leave you to tyrannize, you leave me to tyrannize, and the Taliban seem to have accepted that, despite most of these people being nominally Sunni Muslims. Now, anyone who wants human rights in these countries, well, in Turkmenistan, then the Turkmen regime will call them Islamic extremists, even if they're not, even they're totally secular, they're liberal, they're conservative, they're socialist, whatever, but they'll be branded that because they know that will diminish sympathy for them in the free world. And this is a trick that Putin plays. You're an extremist. If you happen to be a Muslim, you're an Islamic extremist, according to him, if you want human rights. So they value the CSTO for that. But as I say, Turkmenistan is not actually a member of the CSTO, nor is Uzbekistan. There's the Commonwealth of Independent States for former Soviet countries, which Uzbekistan is a member of, as well as Armenia and Azerbaijan. But, you know, that's your lot. You know, some of the former Soviet republics have chosen not to join. The Ukraine war has certainly complicated things. So the war has undoubtedly diminished Russia's influence elsewhere. It just doesn't have the headspace to be thinking about Central Asia. It doesn't have the military clout to threaten them or indeed to defend them. Remember, January 2022, there was a sudden unrest in Kazakhstan, and this sudden hike in fuel prices affecting everybody. This is a country practically floating on oil and gas. But most people live in poverty because obviously most of the wealth is siphoned off by the kleptocracy, by Kasym Jomart Tokayev and the Camarilla. He's not that avaricious. It's his predecessor, Nazarbayev, who was the real thief in chief. And Tokayev, to justify shooting dead hundreds of unarmed protesters, claimed that 10,000 foreign terrorists had appeared out of nowhere on the streets of Almaty. And then he got the CSTO to send him some military support. He gunned down the demonstrators, and then the CSTO were able to go home. The CSTO supposedly proved its salt in that event. But then people are openly questioning whether the CSTO is worth it, given the Russian military's performed so abysmally in Ukraine. Despite a 10-to-1 advantage in tanks, in artillery, and aircraft, and so on, they've not beaten the Ukrainians. Admittedly, because Russia's enormous size, they were able to deploy half of that to Ukraine. All right. So Russia's trade turnover with the region is increasing. and there are more guest laborers, the guest workers than ever, moving from Central Asia to Russia. That's partly because of the Russian population. It's a death spiral. About 1% of the Russian population has left the country this year. Doesn't seem like very much, but that's more immigration they've had any time since the 90s, early 90s. And partly those are men aged 18 to 35, usually fleeing conscription. People otherwise be very economically productive. So none of the Central Asian countries voted in favor of Russia's invasion in the United Nations, but they abstained or made sure their ambassador was outside the room when the vote was held. So, and there's signs that Russia's being rebuffed. In October this year, Kyrgyzstan, it suddenly called off joint military exercises for the CSTO that were due to be held on its soil. And in December, the president of Uzbekistan, Shavkat Mirziyoyev, at short notice, cancelled a visit to Kyrgyzstan because Putin was going to be there and he didn't want to have the embarrassment of meeting him. So the Organization of Turkic States now seems to be more important to these countries. So the Central Asian countries, they're worried, you know, that they have to not sell certain items to Russia or they'll be sanctioned themselves. Russia and Belarus have been selling timber to European Union countries by deliberately mislabeling it product of Kazakhstan. I don't know if there's any connivance on the part of the Kazakhs. But if they're turning Nelson's eye to it, then, you know, Western countries might sanction them. But so what else has been going on? I mean, these countries, they need to trade with Western countries. They want access to Western capital, investment and loans and so on. So Russia doesn't want to push them too hard in case they jump the other way. Say, OK, fine, we're more or less several relations with Russia to draw closer to the West. But they are rather reliant on Russia. There's a Caspian oil pipeline which goes through Russia, and 80% of Kazakhstan's oil goes through that one. Almost all the rest of the oil from Kazakhstan goes to China. But, you know, that's why there was interest in TAPI, the Turkmenistan, Afghanistan, Pakistan, India pipeline. Sections have been built, it's far from completed, but gas from Turkmenistan will be able to flow through to Pakistan and India, from there be shipped all over the world. Could Kazakhstan connect to that for gas? Could there be one for oil as well? And then they could bypass Russia. Could there be other pipelines through the Caspian which don't go through the Russian section thereof, through Azerbaijan, onto Turkey, Europe, wherever? But Russia could quite easily sabotage that, which they appear to have done to the Nord Stream 2 pipeline in the North Sea some months ago. Anyway, so Moscow doesn't demand vociferous loyalty. They probably think they wouldn't get that one. So they don't want to force these people to choose between towing the Kremlin's line and being more pro-Western, because they're worried these countries will orient towards the Occident. More people going to Russia to work as Gastarbeiterin. It's almost impossible to get citizenship. That's partly because Russia just needs more laborers, and they send remittances back to their country. Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan are very dependent on them. There are a very significant percentage of the economy are based on remittances. These are poverty-stricken countries, Kyrgyzstan and Tajikistan. They've got almost no oil and gas or minerals. So that's really important to them. They'd be screwed if Russia wouldn't let their guest workers in. Russia also have a problem not having workers. People are mostly factory workers, construction workers, farm laborers, cleaners, waiters, waitresses, things like that. But there's some of them in the learned professions. And Russia wouldn't find it easy to source more laborers, would have to turn to North Korea even more, breaking sanctions again, which might lead to even more severe sanctions. What else would I point out? So what's going to happen? Well, Tajikistan is supposedly sold on to Russia some drones it bought from Iran, though the Tajik regime vehemently denies that. And Wagner, the private military company, is supposedly trying to get prisoners from Turkmen prisons to send to Ukraine. And Turkmenistan has come up with a sort of pro-Russian propaganda campaign, despite being sort of studiously neutral in international affairs right now, saying that, you know, Western propaganda is trying to poison young minds in Turkmenistan. So these two tyrants, they got something going between them. They're going to support each other. A lot of telescopic sights from Kyrgyzstan have been sold to Russia. And home appliances, you know, white goods from the European Union are being imported to Kazakhstan in suddenly increased numbers. It's thought this is possibly because they really want the microchips, which are then sold to Russia and used for military applications. So the European Union might have to stop selling white goods to Kazakhstan. But the CSTO doesn't really seem to be worth it in Armenia. I know that's not Central Asia. They've openly questioned whether it's worth being a member of it because they're fighting against Azerbaijan, and Russia won't back them up because of, Nagorno-Karabakh is legally Azerbaijani territory, and Russia dare not hack off the Azerbaijanis. And even more importantly, Azerbaijan's big brother, Turkey, is very important to keep them on side. And Armenia, frankly, doesn't matter, can be simply thrown to the wolves. It's just sacrifice for a greater good. If Armenia wants to buy more weapons from Russia, Russia has very few to spare. They need everything they can for Ukraine. So Russia doesn't really seem to be worthwhile as an ally, but it could be quite dangerous to an enemy if you border them, as Kazakhstan does, for example. Even if you don't border them, like Tajikistan and Kyrgyzstan, the Russians have bases there, and the Russians have bases in adjacent countries. So they could still attack you or just economically wreck you by expelling all your guest workers and not allowing any more in. So these countries, they dare not poke the bear. But there are signs that Russia's influence in the region is dissipating rapidly. So in 70% of people in Kyrgyzstan say that the economic problems are due to the invasion of Ukraine. 55% say that in Kazakhstan and 30% in Uzbekistan. Having said that, there has been some economic boost to these countries. A lot of businesses were active in Russia, foreign businesses relocated to Kazakhstan. The hundreds of thousands of war refugees who went to Central Asia, they brought money with them. And that's been a boost. And landlords have gained and banks have got more money. So it is a boon in some ways. But, Russia can't buy as many products and so on. And salaries have been cut back, and there are plenty of jobs for people in Russia, but they're very badly paid. There have been anti-war protests in Bishkek and Almaty, protesting against Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And some people have said, if it's Ukraine today, it'll be us tomorrow. So some concert halls are not allowing Russian singers to perform. So the Russian language is losing its status. So there's been a declension in the number of people who are learning the language. And Russia has actually blocked some Central Asian news websites because they're telling the plain truth about the war in Ukraine. So some people in Central Asia are saying, well, let's shake off this post-colonial cultural cringe. We don't have to look to Moscow. We don't have to copy them. And Russia is like a second-rate power, if that. And it's just its influence around the world is shrinking by the day. Anyway, so the presidents of all five countries are people who grew up in the Soviet era, and they all speak fluent Russian, and that's it. And they're all very much authoritarians. So that they can't afford to annoy Russia. Though Russia's influence is diminishing, it is still significant. But they have done things like, has decided said the curriculum will not have so many Russian language lessons in school. They've renamed streets. They're no longer named the era of communist era rulers or people who are Russian writers or anything like that. So the population is young. About half people are under the age of 30. So therefore, they were not born in the Soviet era, and they would not automatically think, okay, we have to copy the Ruskies. So anyway. These countries are becoming more genuinely independent. So Russia's not trying to make itself more attractive, but I think its attempts to threaten them are going to be less and less effective, particularly if it loses in Ukraine. At the moment, it doesn't look like anybody's going to leave the CSTO, but on the other hand, nobody's talking about joining it. Right, thanks very much for watching my video. Remember to subscribe on Patreon and donate on PayPal. Goodbye.